I think it's important to note, like, it's not just guys that have this huge taboo and huge silencing around the menstrual cycle. Puberty is an initiation. It's an initiation into adulthood. What you experience matters. I knew after reading this book that it was going to be pretty transformational for me, and I wanted to help spread that message.
All right, welcome to the Rad Dad Podcast. This is episode 44. I have Elizabeth Tidwell on, and we connected through a Facebook group that I only joined like 3 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. So I put up that post and you stood out. I mean, I had like over 200 comments, and obviously you stood out. We'll get into more of why, but if you want to just introduce yourself, I guess like your title and kind of what you do.
Sure. So I'm Elizabeth Tidwell, and I am a womb guide and cycles coach. So I help educate mostly women and girls, but that is obviously expanding, all about the menstrual cycle and just how important it is in everyday life, which is something that has been vastly overlooked. So I love helping. I work one-on-one with clients to help them learn how to align with their menstrual cycle, because it can be a super big ally, but also do a lot of work in the education realm as well.
Awesome. I love it. The reason you stood out so much to me is because I could tell you were making a push to educate men as well. And when I started this podcast, my wife and I were talking about different discussions we could have, and she brought up like, well, you know, she was pregnant with my daughter, and she's mm-hmm. like, well, how are you going to handle, you know, her, like, the conversations when she has her period and stuff. I'm like, I have no idea.
I love that she asked, like, you that. That yeah, already is incredible.
And so a little background on me. I grew up with three brothers and I have one older sister, one older brother, and then two little brothers. All the boys, we like wrestled, did karate, played football. Like, it was just like a jungle.
Yeah.
You know, and then my poor sister, she had to put up with all of it. But this subject was taboo. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know about it. I didn't know how to approach it. I've never had a conversation, you know, with my mom or with my sister about it at all to this day. Mm. And even like being married, you know, I was married young, and it was like just a whole different world to me. So mm-hmm. I'm so happy to have you on. And I think this is going to be a really good resource that the Rad Dad community can look back on. And, you know, in the next decade or so, I will be coming back to this episode and in due time. So I'm happy to have you on.
Yes.
So just explain to me a little bit more, I guess your journey of this career path, because it's not like a traditional, you're not an astronaut, you're not a doctor, you're not a teacher. So
talk and to me like about that. There are not very many menstrual cycle coaches. This is like very uncommon. So actually my upbringing sounds a little bit similar to yours. I am from a huge family, but I am a girl in between four boys. So I have two brothers older than me and two brothers younger than me.
Gotcha.
But I also have like, there's six brothers. I have six brothers total. So like I was a huge tomboy growing up.
Yeah.
So if you would have told me at like, you know, in fourth grade when I was pretty much wearing my brother's clothes that I was going to be talking about menstrual cycles, I would have been totally shocked. Because I think it's important to note, like, it's not just guys that have this huge taboo and huge silencing around the menstrual cycle. And actually, I feel like in a lot of ways, husbands, brothers, dads are a little bit more interested in talking about it in some ways, not in every way, because we as women have been so shamed and so silenced around the menstrual cycle that it's like, it's actually an additional layer that we just have to address. But yeah, so I came from that same culture where it was totally, I did not have conversations about this at all. I did the fifth grade maturation awkward thing, and that was it. But I just, after having a daughter, she's in preschool right now, so it was a handful of years ago. After having a daughter, I just, at the same time, was really just kind of reevaluating how I wanted to live my life. I think that's pretty common when you become a parent.
Yeah.
Just like, what do I want for this little human? And what do I want for, like, you know, life to be like? And that was a very big, like, self journey starting for me. And I, at that time, happened upon a book about the menstrual cycle and the power in the menstrual cycle at that time. It's called Wild Power. And it was the first time that I had heard the message at all in any terms that the menstrual cycle was powerful and like an ally. Before, it had always just been like, oh, this is a pain, this is gross, yeah, this is annoying, like this is a hassle, whatever. So that was huge for me. And I knew after reading this book that it was going to be pretty transformational for me, and I wanted to help spread that message. So then it kind of snowballed from there. That was a couple of years ago, and I immediately signed up to do their training program. It's like a once a year program, and it was open right as I read that book. So it kind of, kind of snowballed from there. And just kind of adding on layers of, the more I work in this field, the more like I realize the gaps. Like, it's not just women that need to be, you know, like educated on our bodies. And I love especially talking to parents, because my biggest goal is to totally transform how we, like, the culture around menstruation for boys and girls. Like, I am so passionate about that. So because if we can start kids off with a much better positive view of their bodies and their bodies as they change and grow, then I won't have to do all this work of undoing all these layers of shame and taboo and lack of knowledge when we're adults, right? And then getting like siblings and parents and men around women and girls to be educated as well, that's key to changing the whole culture. And the more we show up for, you know, girls and women, the more we're going to show up for boys and men as well. Like, it is absolutely going to just change how we view each other. Because I think, like, the most universal aspect of the whole human experience, which we all share, is the fact that we're in bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And they all go through kind of similar things. So I really am very passionate about, like, helping to normalize just what it is like to be in a body, because I think that's so valuable for everybody. And then the more that you change that on an individual level, it's going to be so much easier to offer that same insight and compassion and awareness to other people as well.
I love that. One thing I've learned becoming a parent is that the negative self-talk, when it comes out of my mouth, my kids are watching. So I don't want my kids to think, man, like, my little 4-year-old looks almost exactly like me. Like, he's 2.0. I don't want him to say, you know, here, no, dad thinks he's fat, or dad thinks he's ugly, and I look like dad.
Yes.
I don't want him to have that realization, right? So I want to get your opinion on where you think the shame starts with the menstrual cycle, and also what normalizing that looks like.
Mm, yeah. I love that you brought that up, because one of the biggest things in, like, a child's perspective is they, you know, see our modeling or our responses to stuff, and they don't think, oh, that's a dad problem. They think that's a problem with me, right? Yeah. And so it starts very young, because one, we can't escape it in, like, media. It's everywhere. Yeah. Menstrual taboo, menstrual shame. So the best that we can do is, like, you know, within our homes and within the people around us immediately, start breaking that down. So yeah, I think it just starts because that's what's been normal. It's been normal to not have a very good relationship with our bodies in every way, every gender, in, like, so many scenarios, right? Like, mm-hmm. we inherit so much cultural shame around bodies. I think that kids pick that up way younger than we even realize. So that's vastly important. And I love that. I think combating that comes from, like I was saying, just in the home, but in a whole bunch of small daily things, like, making sure you check your self-talk and what comes out of your mouth, even like how you look at yourself in the mirror, and those types of things, that these little shifts really make the hugest impact. Because that's, if you normalize your own positive relationship with your body instead of the normalization of all the negatives that we point out, or that other people, or we point out about other people's bodies, that's already going to offer so much more resilience. Because if a kid, he starts, you know, goes to school and starts hearing people, I don't know, like fat shaming, but they've already been hearing in the back of their mind since they were very little this other narrative about how all bodies are valuable and all bodies are capable of joy and every, you know what I mean? Like, they'll at least have another narrative in the back of their mind instead of silence around whatever is coming up in, you know, whatever avenue of body shaming.
Yeah. So right before you got here, I was talking to my wife and I was just talking about how, you know, I had no knowledge of this really. And I was trying to pinpoint when I found out like about periods and stuff. And I'm pretty sure it was like late junior high years, you know, somebody was making fun of another, a girl. Mm. And that's how I found out about it. What is the best scenario that boys can find out and educate themselves?
Yes. Honestly, so I think it's pretty, well, I don't know if I can generalize it that much. I think it's more common for moms to be more open to very young children because that's when they're following them around all the time. That's when they might follow her into the bathroom. And if she's like, you know, changing out her menstrual products, that's a natural time to bring it up. So if you don't have that opportunity because you're not a menstruator, here's what you can do. And I think this starts like, again, it can be like since infancy, we can just be talking about bodies because again, this is just normal. This is just what we are just taking care of our body's needs.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be any more weird than that. It's the same as I'm hungry, right? Oh, I am having cramps, so I'm going to go lay down. So what you can do as a dad, vocalize your awareness that, you know, your wife or a daughter or somebody around you is on their period in a positive way as, hey, I'm aware of this need that you and your body are experiencing. So how can I show up to support you? Even normalize that asking and that awareness on your part shows already from kids, they watch this and they're like, oh yeah, of course, this is a normal thing to talk about. And what I do then is ask how I can help when, you know, she needs to lay down for a while. That's fine. Normalize support around periods and awareness and acknowledgement. And that will go so far. And then you don't have to wait until, you know, seventh grade and somebody's getting picked on because you've already, it's just normal. This is normal.
I love that. When we first started messaging about having you on the podcast, I was like, for some reason, my mind went to like, so she's going to teach me how to talk to my daughter about this. And then I was like, no, that's not the tactical way to go about this. Cause my wife's going to handle the actual conversation. Mm. Right. Mm. But in my mind, before I know any of your material, what I picture is the whole family rallies around the daughter.
Love it so much. That's exactly right. And totally what my vision is for how we can all, like change the culture around menstruation. And I also want to kind of put this out there that I don't want you to feel like you have to wait until your daughter has her first period
before you start talking about it. That was my next question. When?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Babies. Normalize anything. We talk about food. We talk about taking care of our bodies. We talk about sleep. We talk about bathing. It's another thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And kids are aware. Kids are aware of, you know, when, if they have older siblings, they're aware when puberty's starting and they're starting to like move differently or they have growth spurts or whatever.
Right.
They notice. And also they notice how we treat them. So, I think the best approach is just like from very, very, very far in advance before it happens, because it is pretty common that a lot of disconnect between fathers and daughters happens around puberty.
Interesting.
Because dads get less comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? And so do girls, because they realize, oh, you're responding to me differently than you did last year, than you did last month. And they're already feeling all the puberty differences and feeling already like insecure and like how, like my body's changing, right? Yeah. And then, so if you haven't already shown that you are going to support them through this because you've shown how you model it in your home with other people who menstruate, or, you know, if your wife is pregnant or something, or like doesn't have a period for whatever reason, there's other, you can talk, like it comes up in, it just, capitalize on the natural times where it comes up. So in media or things like that, or whenever you get the opportunity, or even just like, yeah, just you can create them, the opportunities a little more gently, so that by the time she does go through menarche, that's your very first period, she's not already feeling like the scramble for how will he respond.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
Or how will my mom respond? Either way, you've already exhibited you're going to be supportive. Either way, you've already exhibited you're like a safe place to talk about or ask questions.
That's huge.
Yeah. So even the other thing is like, if it's the biggest advice I can give too, is like, before you can safely and not awkwardly and not shamefully talk about periods and puberty and body changes, you have to be able to like be comfortable with that yourself, right? Because if you go into it, this is the first time I've talked about it, but I'm doing it with my daughter and she's about, like, it's going to be awkward and it's just not going to be comfortable and they'll feel that, right? And so that will be another opportunity for disconnection, even though your whole goal was connection there, which is awesome. But prepare a little bit beforehand, because all of us have been in a culture steeped with menstrual shame and taboo. So it is okay that's where you're coming from. But now what do we do to address that first, so that then we don't pass that along unintentionally?
So my baby girl, she's 10 months old, Lila. Lincoln's 4 years old. What do Lincoln and I need to do when this time comes? Like, do we buy ice cream? What do we do?
Yeah. Best thing. Ask. Ask Lila what she wants. Ask your wife what she wants and needs. Just this awareness. Okay, I recognize you're slowing down. Offer lots of support around, because at menstruation, a little bit less so when girls very first start, it takes a few years for the cycle to regulate. So the way they experience periods at the very beginning might be different than how they experience them as they age. But some even teens have pretty challenging periods. So for sure, just recognize, hey, it looks like you're extra tired. Like, how are you feeling? You don't have to be like, are you on your period? Because nobody likes that question. Just be like, how are you feeling? Like, looks like you're a little tired, or looks like you're, you know, just your energy is low, or things like that. Just being aware of people's experiences and asking about it, that's the best thing you could do, because they will tell you, you know.
This might be a dumb question. I don't know. But is there a balance between, you know, loving on them and being very supportive and also teaching them that life still goes on?
Yeah. Yeah. Not a like dumb
question. I don't want my daughter to just shut down and kind of milk it, you know, and go take naps and, you know.
Oh, so. I am all about milking it. You know why? Because this is actually the time of the cycle. So the male cycle resets every 24 hours. You get to show up with the same energy every single day. The female hormonal pattern is not like that.
Okay.
Like, there just is no time when we're not experiencing some sort of fluctuation or change, right?
Yeah.
So the capitalizing on the four distinct phases that happen over about a typical 28-day cycle really helps so many things. The way that you start your period, or you start your cycle, because this is the very beginning of the full menstrual month, the full cycle.
Okay.
So the way you start it, the more rest you can deliver at that time, the better you'll feel and the fewer symptoms you'll feel the rest of the cycle. Okay. In a lot ways. So
these are secrets that they don't tell us. Men.
Well, that's because most women don't know. But yes, so instead of viewing it as my husband has this sometimes on my cycle too, like on my period, he's like, well, I would love to, you know, just lay on the couch for 2 days. And I'm like, okay, but that is not all that's happening. Also, like, I don't know if you have seen those like reels of men getting the cramp stimulator.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it varies person to person what your menstrual experience is. Also, not every person will want to take as much time or need to, but for many, it is a really painful thing. Mm-hmm. And so like when you're sick, you rest. When you're in pain, you rest.
Right.
I think the notion of we're milking it comes from a culture that overvalues productivity and self-exploitation. I always like to say that like the point of knowing where you are in your menstrual cycle isn't so you can exploit your own labor more, because I think that's just the default. That's just like what we view as like a valuable contribution as being a productive person. But if you can rest well at menstruation, it actually sets you up better to have more sustainable energy through your follicular phase all the way through your luteal phase until you come back to that rest phase. So this is just when your hormones naturally want you to rest. So, I think that's not a milking it so much as like honoring, okay, this is what's going on for my body.
Yeah. I'm glad I asked the question, because I know there are a lot of husbands out there thinking the same thing.
Yes.
And now they know.
Yes. Yes. And like, again, I don't want to be like, hey, now they'll be better able to like work harder later. But honestly, when I work with my body and recognize that, okay, it's asking for rest, and anything that I do right now feels 20 times harder than if I did it tomorrow, and it would be like so much easier. Today I'm coming up on ovulation, which is like the peak of estrogen. This is the peak of lots of external, this is like the superwoman week where culture expects us to be ovulatory energy all the time, but we're not. We only have a few days of that. However, when I'm in this phase, today I knocked off everything on my to-do list. I cleaned my entire house. I did like 12 loads of laundry. I did the dishes. I cooked dinner. I like showered, and like the list goes on. This was easy for me. It did not feel hard. Other days in my cycle, that would be way too much. It would feel too hard. So what I do and what we can expect or anticipate or kind of help is build buffers around when, you know what? I'm still a mom when I'm on my period. I don't really have a choice on if I'm going to show up and mother my child that day. So yeah, life does still go on. But how can I build buffers where I can ask for support? I can communicate with my husband. He can acknowledge where I'm at and know what my capacity is. Just like, I mean, this isn't unique to the cycle. We all at different times and seasons of our lives have different capacities that fluctuate, right?
Yeah.
So just knowing if you can anticipate, okay, you know, these 2 to 3 days, the capacity is low. What are the priorities for these 2 to 3 days? I hate cooking on my period. I hate doing dishes on my period. Like it's really hard in my body to stand on a hardwood floor and do dishes. It just feels like really hard.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it. It's just,
I think it sounds painful.
Yeah.
Cause I'm sure you do. I hate doing the dishes. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So, but again, like days like today when I'm in follicular phase, not hard at all. I could stand there all day. I did all the hand washables, easy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the things that we expect ourselves or others to do don't actually have to be done during that few days window. They can be done later. And we can prioritize the things that do need to be done. So I pretty much prioritize keeping my daughter alive, keeping myself alive. And that's enough for 2 days.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can come back to dishes. I can come back to laundry. I can come back to answering emails. I can come back to scheduling podcasts. Like, the list goes on.
Yeah.
So it really, and honestly, like, that's a great practice for people anyway, is just to realize, how do we work smarter, not harder? How do we work with ourselves? How do we work with our seasons? How do we work with you know, our capacities, whatever the capacity, whether that's biological going on with our hormones or, you know, any other capacity influencing aspect.
So when women are dialed in and they're able to listen to their body, is there a connection between that ability and finding your purpose?
Hmm. Ooh, that's a fun question. Yeah, I think so. I think for me, this has been like massive for me. Because again, if we're thinking my life before understanding my menstrual cycle, which again has only been a couple years.
If you don't mind me asking, like around what age did you feel like you understood it?
So I found that book, Wild Power, I think in 2021. So that was 3 years ago. So I was 33.
Okay.
So I'd lived a few decades.
Yeah.
Being totally disconnected from my body.
Yeah.
And very much not honoring my needs at all in a cyclical way. The default in our culture is the male hormonal pattern. Like we expect to be able to show up every single day, do the same workouts, have the same energy, mm-hmm. work on the 9 to 5, which is again patterned for the male hormonal peaks of testosterone and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's how I lived my life, and I experienced horrible period pain. So like knock me out on the floor for 2 days. I was in grad school at the time and I couldn't go to classes. I couldn't teach. I couldn't do anything. I could literally lay on my bathroom floor and throw up or like pass out with a migraine. It was terrible. So, now the difference, I feel like it's helped me understand first coming home to my body and understanding that the menstrual cycle is actually a way that my body communicates to me what is and isn't in alignment, or like what's working for me, or when I need more rest, when I'm not listening to my body's needs, that kind of thing, which was what was happening in grad school. I was absolutely overriding my body's needs and pushing way too hard. Now that I do through menstruality work, I just have such a deeper connection with my bodily experience, which makes me feel so much more in tune with who I actually am. Like all facets of me, not like I brought up how living life in a body is like the most basic universality of the human experience.
Yeah.
We can't ignore our bodies. But in the Western culture, we do. Like we mostly operate from our heads and we anticipate, we kind of treat our bodies as something to be like mastered and like work for us. Right. But when I finally stopped subscribing to that model and kind of listened to what my body was like, it absolutely unlocked this deep sense of a very deep relationship with myself and a sense of purpose of like, oh, I can honor myself exactly the way I am, right? Instead of working against myself. So whatever that looks like for other people, I think to me, starting with this foundation of honoring our bodily experience can only enhance our capacity to find deep meaning in tons of things, whatever that avenue is going to look like for each individual, for sure.
Awesome. I love that. That's an awesome answer. Where are mothers missing the mark in this whole thing?
Well, like I was saying, I think there's an extra layer of taboo that women have to work through. And so I curate first period kits because I heard from so many moms that were like, listen, my mom, I told her I got my period and she literally said nothing to me, just said, you know where to find the pads underneath the bathroom sink. And that was my entire thing. Yeah. So I think a lot of moms know, they're aware they want it better for their kids,
okay,
but they don't know how to get there because they were never taught. Like, we're not taught about this. Like, there is not, like, a secret menstrual cycle group that goes on. This is new stuff for so many women. And
is this, like, are we talking, like, millennials and...
Yeah, and like...
up to now, I guess?
Yeah, or? Yeah. This, our... Oh, my gosh.
Is it like the millennial movement we're talking about?
Well, or? I just... Honestly, I feel like this is very... generational. I mean, the reason why we were parented that way at Menarche is because they, like, our mothers were also
just trickled down.
Yes. Yeah. Like, this has gone on for a very generations.
So what's changed? Why do younger women have an interest to make the process better and be better?
What? I think this is like such an interesting question. I think the internet and like that's what the accessibility kind of information.
Yeah.
And the accessibility of community, the accessibility of seeing into other people's lives, the accessibility of like just awareness of, and so many resources that yeah. like were not available when I was, you know, going through puberty. The internet was like, you know, Hotmail Messenger, and yeah. that's like all there was besides like, you know, it was like AOL and Google, and that's like it. So yeah, there's so much available to see how other people experience things and what else could be happening. So I think that really also, like, I feel like millennials and parenting, there's this big, I feel, push. This is not unique to millennials. Often we see what happens in one generation, the next generation pushes back, and then the next generation Correct. Swings,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So our version of that with the internet is like more of a, you know, like gentle parenting, conscious parenting, that kind of thing. So we are very much involved in what our kids are experiencing. I feel like more than my parents grew up, my dad was born in 1950, which is like the latchkey kid era where it's just like go out and come home at dinner, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously this, with that comes a lack of even, I don't know, like conversations. Like I don't think my dad had a lot of close conversations with either of his parents, and neither did my mom, and so that was what was normal for them, so that was what they were going to pass on. And now that we have so many more resources, and like the world seems to be set up a little bit differently now, we've got like suburbs and all the thing, like we're kind of up in each other's business in a different way than before, especially amplified with the internet. But yeah, I feel like that's why we're kind of aware of this, is we're in this place where we're, a lot of us had experiences that we're lacking around puberty or whatever, and we're aware of it and we want to make it better for our kids. But I actually love helping like girls come to First Moon Circles, because then it shows that they're moms, that there's so much that they didn't know.
Yeah.
And that opens up the moms to be able to want that for themselves, right? Because before it was like, I see this disconnect between moms who think that they want something different for their daughters and for their kids, and then they don't. I'm always like, oh, take it one step further. That means you deserve this education and this experience just as much as your kids do. But a lot of adults, it's like, oh, I've been having a period for 20 years. It's fine. I know it sucks. I know I don't know anything about it. But it's just what I've dealt with, so I'll just keep dealing with it. So I think that is your question, was where are moms falling short? And I think it's that. It's their own prioritization and awareness of, hey, this is happening for me, and there is a lot more support I could be giving to myself and receiving from others that I'm not, because I'm just not aware, and just because this is status quo, right? But as moms, if we show our kids what it's like to be period positive in our own bodies, and we show what it's like to prioritize our own hormonal pattern in our day-to-day lives. Like I mentioned, like it is very common for me to be like, oh, I'm follicular, so XYZ. I say that kind of thing in every scenario. So it is not going to be foreign to my daughter that I know the context that I'm showing up for all these scenarios in my life, right? So that is invaluable modeling that I so wish more moms knew about, so that they could then pass that along from the get-go.
I love that. When I started this podcast, I had the thought in my mind, like, you know, I want to make an impact. I want to make a difference with the dads. Mm-hmm. But I quickly realized I need to just provide the tools that the dads need to then raise good children. Mm-hmm. That's where the impact in the world is going to come.
Love it.
So are there any other questions I should be asking?
Um, I actually would love, if you're open to it, I want to chat a little bit more about how we can support boys at puberty too. Because again, like, that might be, I would love to hear, if you're open to it, I would love to hear how navigating puberty went for you, and if you recognized how, if there was any change between your relationship with your mom or your dad. So like, how was that for you? And maybe what would you have wanted to be met with at that point for you?
Yeah, so I think my parents did a pretty good job with me, actually. You know, we had the talk, and my dad, he's an educator. Mm. He believes in education, and he went the scientific route. Like, all scientific terms, you know, went through the whole process, and it was just like very educational, to the point where I remember getting bored, and we were like standing, and I had to like kneel down. He's like, are you lightheaded? Are you okay? I'm like, I'm just bored, you know, but, so that's how the talk went. I feel like, but in my family, I've noticed, the dads handle the boys and mm-hmm. the moms handle the girls. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I don't want it that way. We yeah. want to be involved, you know, yeah. both ways. Trying to think. Other than that, I mean, besides that talk, there wasn't really any discussion after it. Mm. And, like, my, I guess, further education on body changes and sex and all mm-hmm. of it was really from, like, unfortunately, sports.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So I grew up wrestling and football, you know, in the locker room, mm-hmm. and you hear what you hear.
Yep.
And that was kind of my perception.
Yeah. Up. Yeah. What would you have liked to be different, or would you have preferred something else, or now looking back?
I think I would have liked to have better understood, like, that these feelings and desires are normal and, like, everyone's going through it. Because
mm-hmm.
I felt like, you know, at that age, it's like you're an animal. You don't know how to control it, and you got to release it. You got to, you know, there's so much negative talk about it. But it's all normal in the end.
Yep.
Like you said, we all have bodies.
Yep.
So I think a little more education on that. I think that's it.
Yeah. Would you have been open to that? Like, more normalized in your family, do you think, at that age, that time?
The thought of having that normalized in my family makes me like, what? That it just doesn't fit.
Feels foreign, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Totally foreign. Thank you for sharing. That was, I love talking about this because, again, until we even think about, like, what did I experience and what maybe would I, like, was I as supported at this point as I could have been? That's, like, the foundation for how we can move forward and support support our own kids and support ourselves, right? 'Cause, yeah, that's a pretty common, again, this is how it was for yeah. our generation. Like, the bare bones. It sounds like you got a little bit more than that with an educator dad, which is nice. But yes, like the whole, I remember fifth grade, I got none of that at home. Well, if I did, I do not remember.
I got to let you know this, because it's yeah. just a funny little side fact, but my dad's an elementary school counselor and teaches the fifth grade maturation.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, he was, he was good. He was in it. That's hilarious. But yeah, like that fifth grade maturation, I remember it being so weird because they separated the boys and girls, and so it seemed like a thing we shouldn't be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, it was yeah, so again, I love that you're already talking in your family, but like, I don't want to separate, like, you can't talk to your dad about this if you're a girl, you yeah. can't talk to your mom about this if you're a boy. It's like, no, like, listen, puberty impacts everyone in the family, and we all experienced puberty. So, like, we don't need to add the burden onto this child who's going through a bigger change than probably a lot of them have ever experienced, and that will change their bodies forever. Like, there's a lot of emotion that comes with that already. So how can we make this, like, just as supported as we possibly can, because that's what we want for our kids, right?
Yeah.
So thinking about what maybe we did and didn't receive, what worked for us and what didn't, and also knowing that if you've already started talking about this when they're younger, then by the time the conversation starts, it doesn't have to be just one conversation.
Yeah.
There will be tons of trickling conversations since they're literally babies. And then it'll be so much more less awkward for you as a parent too. Like, it'll just be easier for you to broach it because you've already talked about it and talked about bodies. And then it'll also, like, you won't be unintentionally passing on, you know, shame and awkwardness that they're probably going to experience, because welcome to puberty.
Yeah.
We don't need to make that any harder in our homes. We can absolutely support it and again provide this alternative narrative around how really cool bodies are. Like, they're incredible. They are so smart, and they're have great capacity, and they are such avenues for joy and really incredible experiences. And like, let's talk about how this change is going to like, what's happening for not only your body to like level up, but also like, okay, this is going to come with some other emotional layers that maybe you haven't experienced before. And just like, yeah, it doesn't have to be this big thing if we've already been talking about how, hey, we're aware of what people go through, or what the people in our family go through, and it's okay to talk about that.
Yeah, I love that. I've had this conversation on the podcast and just a lot with my friends, and I think I get the notion that most young parents really want to be the parent that their kid trusts fully. Yeah. To come and talk to, right? And we've had the conversation on the podcast that starts at a very young age, how you react when they come to you with an issue. Yes. Or hard emotions to go through. And I was thinking, if you're fully committed to that, why cut it off at puberty?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's awkward for you to talk. Mm-hmm. About, like, you cut it off there, you're rebuilding a foundation for failure.
Yeah, and you're undoing all of the hard work that you've been doing before. Yeah. And also, again, like, puberty is an initiation. It's an initiation into adulthood. So if at puberty, suddenly your parents kind of withdraw because they don't know how to support you here, or they're awkward, or they've got their own menstrual shame that's coming up for them, that is where a lot of kids start having separation from parents in a way that they may not have, likely would not have had, if they didn't feel abandoned and like unsupported at this initiation into adulthood. That's setting up your adult relationship with your kid.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that I know you don't want. Like, we want a, yeah, connected, safe, trust, supportive relationship. So yeah, carry that through puberty even, and do the work for yourself to release that shame so you can continue being that supportive place.
Yeah. If you're okay with it, I want to pick your brain just about kind of the business side.
Yeah.
So talk to me about, you have like a first period kit,
mm-hmm,
which is like, I think it's such a great way for dads to kind of,
mm-hmm,
you know, get involved.
Yeah.
So talk to me about that.
Yeah. So I curate first period kits. They're a tiny, it's like this big, little wet bag. So, and it has like two organic pads, two organic panty liners, a couple of wipes, and a heat patch if they have cramps, and then a little bit of period education. So this is, I don't know of any other first period kit that you can buy that has the period education in it. So that's like the gold in there. So that this kit, you can put it in a backpack, you can put it in a locker, sports bag, dance bag, whatever. And then if they get their first period, especially, but any period after that, when they're not at home and don't have any period products, they're prepared. But the education is a great way for, yeah, like, you can just, it's a period Q&A. It's got like 10 questions and just like, it's a little handout so you can learn along with your daughter. Yeah. And it's got a little infographic on how to use a pad for the first time. So yeah, like the whole, and then I send an email with it for conversation starters and other resources for parents, because I know that this is why most girls at their period, if their very first period aren't supported at home, is because the parents just don't know how, yeah. or don't know what's normal in how a period, what to expect from a first period. Because again, like for moms, it's been decades, you know, like, and we weren't supported. So of course, and then of course dads, it's like, I have no idea. So this is a great opportunity. I love to say, to parents, part of the email is like, go through the kit now with your kid, or, you know, add in other family members. We can all explore together. At that point, that's all it is just exploration. What do period products look like? How do they work? What can I expect from a period? Like, what does it feel like? Those are all very basic questions that very young kids, not just girls, are going to have. So that's a great entrance into period education, the very basics for dads as well. And then I actually super, super, super love trying to invite parents to also buy one for their little boys. Because everyone around them, you know, like if they go to school with other girls, if they have sisters, if they have friends, like somebody's gonna need some period products at some point. And how awesome would it be? Again, like I had tons
You'd be a legend.
Yes. And like I had brothers and I had tons of guy friends growing up. Yeah. And there were times when I didn't have, you know, I was caught off guard and didn't have any period products. And not always did my friends have them. So if I could have gone to a guy friend, and first of all, he knew what a period was and wasn't weird to me about it, but knew, oh gosh, how can I support you? Because like, yeah, your body's going through a lot right now. Oh, I've got an extra pad for you, or a tampon, or whatever. How incredible would that be? Like, so such a different experience for kids to, one, be that friend that knows how to help people, and be that friend that has your friends' backs. And then also, like, to be the recipient of that, how much, oh, just like so much better support and so much more comfort in your own body, rather than like the awkwardness. I can remember like middle school periods were the worst, because it was just like, you know, you had to like hide the tampon up your sleeve because it's so embarrassing. Nobody should ever know. And it's like, but why though? It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's going through something. So I would love to be the friend that has what you need, right? And I'm positive, I don't have any sons, but like, I'm positive that I would love to have a son that like is that friend for his girlfriends, you know?
Yeah. Cool. What other services or resources do you offer?
Yeah. So while I was in certification to do all my menstrual cycle coaching, that's how I actually started my business. First was in products. So it started with a period self-care subscription box. So the whole point of My Club Red, which is the subscription box, is to make it so easy for every menstruator to rest at their period and change how they view their periods, change their relationship with their periods, look forward to it as a time to like connect with themselves, nurture themselves, pay attention to what their body needs, and like look at it as like a, you know, a little mini retreat instead, and like an opportunity to care for yourself instead of like, oh, my period's coming, this is the worst, and I just suffer through it. So the whole point of that is to help change how a menstruator experiences their period. But also, I love this for like husbands and dads too, because again, how awesome to show your support to, again, start modeling that before they even are close to menstruation by surprising your wife with this box and being like, hey, I see that this time of the month is hard. So let's make it like, I hear you talk about your period as this negative thing. I am going to show up with this supportive box for you, and like, or you know, any way to show that you see what they're going through, you recognize that it's important to rest at this time, and you're going to make it happen. Like, starting modeling that is so important, and a big part of what I love about how I created this box to be so easy for that to happen.
Yeah. And in the YouTube and podcasts, all the resources will link your socials and everything.
Cool. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. To end the podcast, I ask the same question to every guest.
Great.
And that is, if there's one message you want to leave with your family when you're no longer here, what is that message?
I think that what you experience matters. I think that sums up so much of what I stand for, is that what people experience totally matters. What you go through matters, right? And so, like, puberty, we don't want to talk about it, but it matters. And so, like, I would love the message to be like, I see you and what you're going through, and I will meet you there and honor it and witness it, because what you experience matters.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I've really enjoyed this. It's been awesome to hear your insights and stories, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. And thank you so much for having me. And I love that you have this podcast to talk about parenting for dads in, like, this such a great positive space that, I don't know if you've read the book For the Love of Men. Have you? Okay, read that. You will love it.
Okay.
I recently read it, and it's all about how toxic masculinity harms men. And so I'm, like, so, so invested in supporting spaces like this, where it's like, oh, we are doing things differently. We are not, we're pushing against this cultural norm to be aloof and uninvolved and unemotional and just not available. I love that you're doing something different, and that matters. So, yeah, awesome. Thank you for that.
Thanks.